This is the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show, number 67. Hi, you're listening to the Pitch Vision My Cricket Coach Show. You can find us at pitchvision.com and email us on mycricketcoach@pitchvision.com. My name's David Hinchliffe in the UK.
And I'm Kevin Sampath in Australia. Coming up on the show, we have a chat with our batting coach, Gary Palmer, and as usual, we answer your questions for this week. Well, David, you'll be keen to hear how our game went on the weekend, and I must admit, it's not good news. We needed 118 runs to win, as you heard last week, and we were 1-for-30 overnight. But somehow we managed to lose our heads, or the other team managed to put in their best bowling performance for the year, and we were bowled out for 108, which was sort of
108.
A big shock to us.
That's not very good, is it?
Speaking to the captain, their captain after the game, which we were good mates with, he said that's probably the best bowling performance he's seen from their team this whole season, which was probably a bad thing for us to face their best bowling throughout the season. But in the end, we didn't really knuckle down and bat as well as we should have, which probably means we're out of contention for the semi-finals now. We tried to go for second innings points at least. If we try to beat them on second innings points, so we tried to go out, bowl again, and try and bowl them out for a low total. But they managed to hang in there and only lost 4 wickets. So at about 5 o'clock, which we usually end about 6:30, we decided to call it just the first innings defeat, and we decided to walk away from that.
Oh, right, okay. So that's your chances blown now of reaching the finals then, is it?
Yeah, there's still remote chances to make it, depending on if we win our next two games and if a lot of other teams lose. But we should have really won this game to make the finals, but now it makes it really hard for us to make the finals.
Oh, so you must be feeling a bit down now then.
Yeah, we were a bit down, especially start of the week, but now all we're saying to ourselves is it's our first year as a new team, whereas all these other teams have been there for about 2 or 3 years, and our captain was saying we've done all right for our first year, and this can be sort of our learning year, where next year we come back stronger.
Absolutely, yeah, and you can use the last few games to work on things maybe for next season.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said. There's things we've been sort of scared to try out throughout the season. Maybe we can try that out in the next couple of games. Still, we're going to take a serious approach because there's still a sort of minute chance we could make the semis, but we're still going to play the toughest cricket and the hardest cricket we can. We're not just going to lie down and take defeat that easily.
And going back to the game, were you right there? What were they doing that was so good that got you out for such a low score?
They bowled really good lines, David, no doubt about that. Throughout the season, we've been getting consistent bowlers, but not consistent throughout their spells. They'd bowl usually their first three overs, or first three or four overs, really consistent, and then they tend to go bowl a few bad balls in the next couple of overs, which is what we'd expect. So our batsmen would usually knuckle down in their first overs of a spell and then try and capitalize on the last couple of overs. But these bowlers, they seemed really fit. We played them, the last time we played them, we beat them, and they had the same problem. But this time, their concentration was switched on, and they seemed really focused, and they just gave nothing away. And each and every run of that 108 was hard fought. So, yeah, all credit to them, but we didn't bat as well as we should have as well. We were a bit impatient.
And what about you? How was your batting?
I was actually run out for one, David. I was run out by another tailender, and I actually slipped as well halfway down the pitch, so it didn't help me, and I got a direct hit from the opposition captain, which is a good mate of mine, so had a bit of a laugh about it at the end of the game, but it was sort of unlucky. But when I went in, we needed about 30 to win. We still thought we could get it, but after that, things just went haywire.
Oh gosh, so you were hoping you would see the team over the line?
Yeah, I tried to. I thought I was seeing the ball very cleanly. I thought I was hitting it very well, and I was just unlucky to be run out. I mean, I don't think I could have made that big a difference, but the bloke at the other end was hitting everything off the middle as well, so I thought if I could hang in there and give him the strike, then maybe we could get over the line.
Well, that's disappointing. It is a shame because you've had a bit of an up and down season anyway. I mean, it's been a bit of a strange season anyway, all told, hasn't it? It hasn't sort of been a consistent flow of a season at all.
Yeah, exactly. Which is another thing we can learn from, David, because there's a lot of things I think I've learned about my game this season. And I think if my approach to the off season would be to maintain my consistency for the next season. So I think I just have to learn from this, and our whole team has to learn from this and come back stronger next season.
And you think you will?
Yeah, I think we definitely will. I mean, I've already started planning my season, so I'm pretty excited about it. Hopefully we'll come back. Hopefully none of us will take this too badly and sort of put our heads down, but we'll take it as a positive thing.
And what do you think you would do differently next season that perhaps you haven't done this year, or you would change?
I think I'll take a massive, I'll give massive importance to my fitness, David, because you might remember me saying it took me 3 or 4 games into the season to get my fitness to the peak level that I should have had. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 3 or 4 games to actually bowl to my best level. So I want to start off at my best level from next season. And if that means working really hard through the off season, I've already signed up to a winter sport to keep me fit. And if that means I'm training harder in the off season to get fit, then so be it. But I know how I'm going to approach things now.
What sport do you think you're going to play?
I'm playing AFL, which is a bit like mm-hmm. rugby. It's a bit like Gaelic football, actually. I don't know if you know Gaelic football.
Yeah, but, I've seen Aussie rules on they show it sometimes over here. So
I read somewhere that AFL was created to keep cricketers fit in the off season. So I thought that's perfect for me. So
and what about getting in the gym and that side of the fitness? You going to be you see much benefit in doing anything like that?
Yeah, I have a lot of strength training coming up. I've actually spoken to one of my friends who's one of the top batters in our team to tag along with him on his gym session, so mm-hmm. we can both sort of encourage each other when we're having our workouts, and he can give me advice and I can give him advice. So
yeah, it's I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges people face when going to the gym is getting the motivation to do it, because you know, it's very easy to not go.
Yeah, exactly.
And as you say, if you've got someone you're going with, then you're a bit more accountable, aren't you? You can you know, you have to go, because otherwise you're going to let that other person down. Whereas if you if you're going on your own, you're not letting anyone down, really, are you? You just go in. So you can let yourself down and not feel very bad about it.
Yeah, how's your off season shaping up, David? You have preseason games coming up, don't you? Do you think you're fit and strong for those preseason games coming up?
A while to go, yeah. I've had some work things, so it's been a lot harder to get into the gym as regularly as I was this time last year, but because of travelling and things like that. But I've been doing my best to get the workouts in when I can. So I would probably say that I'm maybe not as fit as I was this time last year, but certainly mentally I'm feeling strong. And you know, we'll just have to wait and see, really. I mean, the proof comes in April when we have the game, pre-season games. One thing that I've been working on is really just to sort of relax and enjoy it. That's, I think that's an important part, especially if you're not if you're not doing it professionally. It's, you don't have to worry too much about it's nice to do well, you know, and you want to do as well as you can do, and you want to put in the practice, you know, if you're not enjoying it out in the middle, there's no point in doing all that practice and training, is there? I think mentally I'm going to be stronger this year. We'll have to see. It's this time of year can be frustrating, because you know, you just want the season to start, but it's still a while to go yet.
Yeah,
February and March can be tough.
It's funny you talk about enjoyment, David, because I had the 2020 game on the weekend, and actually throughout the game it was a bit tense, and I had to bowl the last over, and they needed 8 runs at the last over. And instead of being nervous, I think what came to my head was to just enjoy the moment. And in the end, the game was a tie. So I think you play better when you enjoy. So I think you raised a good point there. Well, we're back again to pick the brains of our batting coach, Gary Palmer, who was a first-class cricketer who played for Somerset, and he now helps younger players in the game with CCM Academy. So if you want to find out more about Gary Palmer, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Let's have a listen to the tips Gary Palmer has for us this week.
Hi, Gary. Welcome back.
Hi, David.
Got a question here from David, who's having a problem while he's batting, keeping his mind clear of thoughts that don't matter while the bowler's running in. The technique he uses is to just say, watch the ball as the bowler's running in, but sometimes he finds himself thinking about other things, like how fast the bowler is or something else that doesn't matter, instead of just letting his instincts take over. So is there anything he can do to keep his mind clear as the bowler's running in?
I think he's more or less trying to do the right thing anyway. Use some self-talk, but back the self-talk. Don't just say it. Actually say it to yourself and make yourself believe it. You know, watch the ball. I can do this. I can do this. But watching the ball should be the last thing he thinks about before that bowler lets go of it, not all the other things. So, you know, maybe if the bowler's running up, he's thinking, you know, I can do this, look to get behind it. And as you're getting close to the crease, watch the ball, watch the ball, watch the ball. I think he's on the right track with what he's doing, clearing his mind, trying to keep things as simplistic as possible. Watching the ball is the most important thing. I wonder, has that player put a lot of preparation in, and does he back his technique 100%? Or maybe he hasn't, or his technique's not as sharp as it could be, which may be giving him some self-doubt. But clearing the mind is, you know, he's got to be thinking positive thoughts all the time, you know, watching the ball. Then where between deliveries, I don't want to get out. He wants to be thinking, where am I going to get my first run? I need to be looking for that first run. So it's all a positive. Maybe he should set himself targets of working in runs, 10 runs of 10 blocks, or time spans of 15 minutes, just so he stays focused, locked in, and motivated.
It strikes me as something that happens more early on in the innings rather than later on, when you've hit a couple of boundaries and you feel like you might have the measure of the bowling. It's not so much of a worry. It's just that initial mystery of what's going on that puts those doubts in your mind. Do you think that's the right thing to say?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you can go out to bat and you can make things out in your own mind before you even start, especially when you're talking about facing quick bowling. Initially, people can go out and they've already psyched themselves out. They think it's too quick and they're not going to handle it. And they can get out early on in their innings. Sometimes people who think that through pure luck, you know, get away with a few edges, maybe take one on the chest, they manage to stay out there and see through that difficult period, and suddenly they think, actually, you know, as time's going on and the more experience I'm getting within this innings, it's getting easier. I can do this. You know, but it's rather than that happen by luck, that needs to be a process. So you need to go in thinking, you know, I know this isn't going to be easy, that every ball I survive should be a positive. Every ball, you know, every ball I hit in the middle of the bat, you know, that should make me feel good. If I get out of the way of a couple of decent bounces, again, that should make me feel good. And the longer you stay in, if you keep thinking about the process of what you're doing and watching the ball, it will get easier. But all too often, you know, and we've all been there, you go in, someone bowls really quick, but a little bit quicker than you've ever had before, and you can go blank. You can just panic and go, oof, quick, what do I do? Oof. And suddenly, the whole process of what you normally do is gone out the window. You have no thoughts in your head, and you just can't go on and bat like that. So you have to accept that you're under stress and think, okay, what is my plan on dealing with it? You've got to keep the processes going. Now, when people panic, you know, it's like everything goes blank in their mind, and you just, you know, you must have a plan or a process of dealing with a stressful situation, and going blank isn't the answer.
Would you say that if the bowler's running in and you find yourself suddenly thinking, you know, all these terrible things, oh no, what if he catches me on the crease early on, or, you know, what if I have a wave at one outside the off, you suddenly start thinking of all the negative things as the bowler's starting to run in, would you advocate stepping away if you you know, if those thoughts are creeping in, and just composing yourself and then taking guard again just to sort yourself out?
Yeah, you could, but you don't want to be doing it too many times, do you?
No, you don't want to do every ball.
I mean, this is where you would have to focus your fear into watching the ball. Watch the ball, and what is the process? What do I need to do here? What's my job? I need to stay in and see off the new ball. So focus my mind on watching the ball and a job staying in. Sometimes when people go out to bat and they think, ah, okay, nice day, opening the bat in, no rush to do anything, no pressure on them to sort of do anything. So you've got a lot of time to be thinking about, oh, he's quick, he's a tall guy, is he going to hit me on the head, is he going to bowl bouncers? Whereas if you've got a plan in your head, like, you know, I need to look to knock the shine off the ball, we need to get 50 in the first 10 overs, okay, game on, watch the ball, bang, play it, away you go. It's like diverting your mind from the fear.
Thanks, Gary, for your time. And if you want to find out more about Gary Palmer and his coaching, please visit www.pitchvision.com/Gary Palmer. Welcome to the question section for this week. Well, David, our first question is from Kwanzi, and he says, I was recently made first slip of my school team, but the problem is I don't know where to stand. Where I'm standing right now is two arms length apart and a couple of faces back from the keeper. I also can feel that silly mid-on or mid-off. What is my role at the position except on catching the top edges? Thanks. Well, David, let's address his first question, which is about first slip.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'd have more experience on this because you were a keeper. I fielded that slip over the weekend, but the keeper made a fool of me saying I didn't know where I was standing, which was true because I've never fielded a slip before. So you're going to have to enlighten us on this one, David.
Well, it's pretty simple. You take your cue from the wicketkeeper because the wicketkeeper is going to stand somewhere where he can catch the ball at a comfortable height when it gets left or missed.
Yep.
So or take a catch. So stand a little bit further back than the wicketkeeper is standing because an edge will probably carry a little bit further to slip than it will to the wicketkeeper.
Yep.
And then yeah, about two arms length is probably about right for if we're talking about seamers. So yeah, if the wicketkeeper holds his arm out to the side as if he was signalling a no ball, and you hold out your arm to the side as if you were signalling a no ball, then
yeah,
there should be no gap between your hands. That's the ideal that the coach will say, because then nothing can slip through the gap there.
Yeah.
You can stand a bit wider, especially if your wicketkeeper is a diver. Some wicketkeepers are more divers than others. Some will go for a wider ball than others will. So sometimes you can stand a little bit wider than that because the wicketkeeper will be covering a wider area. And I will say, especially if you've only got one slip in, I'll say to the first slip, look, stand a bit wider, stand at 1.5, stand at 2. I'll take first slip. So then it's not his responsibility. If the ball flies between me and him, I've taken the responsibility on my shoulders that I will be wicketkeeper and first slip. I don't mind doing that. A lot of it depends on the keeper. There's nothing wrong with standing level with the keeper or even a little bit closer than the keeper if it's a slow pitch. What you've got to decide is, will the ball carry to you? Because it's no good standing at slip if he's going to be bouncing in front of you all the time. I wouldn't recommend standing in very much closer than two arms widths apart. It's slightly different for a slip. For a spinner, I should say, then you probably want to stand with your foot level with the outside bowling crease. But if you're talking about a seamer, you don't want to stand much closer than a couple of arms lengths apart from the keeper, because you don't want to tuck the keeper. You don't want to feel like the keep restricting the keeper, and you don't want to feel like you're restricted by the keeper. But ideally, a couple of arm widths apart. You can go wider if you're confident and you're working with your keeper. If it's a fast track, you're going to be obviously standing further back. If you think the catch is going to come from edged drives, you'll be standing further back because it'll come faster. If you think the catches will be coming from defensive shots, you'll be standing closer. I mean, of course, famously, Ian Botham used to stand at second slip ridiculously close, and everyone used to think he was an idiot, but then he used to take absolutely tons of catches standing very close because he just had the, you know, had the good hands and the good eyes to be able to do that. So stand where you're comfortable, but make sure you stand, because it's a common thing for the slips to stand too far back. So they make it look like they're in a catching position, but actually they're in a saving one position because they've made sure they've gone too far back for the ball to carry. So when in doubt, stand a bit closer.
Let's go to the second part of the question, David, about silly mid-on and silly mid-off. He reckons One of the main responsibilities of position is catching the top edges. What do you think, David? Can it be cutting off the single position as well? Because I know sometimes if you're at normal mid on, normal mid off, there lays around and there's an easy single there. But if you're on silly mid on and silly mid off, there's no easy singles.
Yeah, I would say silly mid on and silly mid off are close catching positions rather than run saving positions. I would have them in there for, certainly at club level, I would have them in there for, or school level, I would have them in there for the mistimed defensive shot on the slower pitch, or maybe the mistimed drive on any pitch, especially slow pitches. If the ball stops in the pitch a bit, then it can pop up, the batsman can hit it in the air, and it can go straight to you.
Yeah.
If it's a silly position, I consider a silly position to be very close. You know, that's why it's called silly, rather than a short position, which is probably a little bit further back.
Yeah.
So probably more for the defensive push that on a slower pitch. You don't get many bat pads in lower level cricket because the bowlers are not getting as much bounce and turn as you do at higher level cricket. But if you're playing a higher level on really good pitches, you could be in there for a bat pad catch as well for a spinner. Especially for seam bowlers, you might have a silly mid on instead of a short square leg or a backward square leg. If it's a slow pitch, then you want a close catcher on the onside. You probably haven't. It's probably a safer position for a younger player to field in at silly mid on than at short square leg, and also the ball's probably more likely to go in the air there.
Okay. Well, David, our next question is from Laksh, and he says, "I have a problem to go into the front foot against fast bowlers, as I have been hit many times before. I recently read that pain activates the amygdaloid memory. Did I say it right, David?"
I'm not sure myself, actually. I've not come across that term before. I think it's a part of your brain, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, this memory, David, he says, the pain activates that memory, which overrides his conscious desire, and the actual action will be withdrawal of that approach. But for him, he says, he backs away, David. And he says it is because of the amygdala. This runs the fight or the flight reaction first. And if the ball perceives it as a threat, he withdraws from it. His question, David, is what should he do to try not to withdraw? So basically, I think he's saying, David, that he's been hit a lot of times before, and this memory is sort of making him hesitant in playing off the front foot. So every time he gets a sort of shortish ball or a shortish full ball that he can play on the front foot, but he can play on the back foot as well, he sort of gets scared to play it on the front foot in case he gets hit. Mm-hmm. So he withdraws from that. That's my understanding, David. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he's used the scientific terms for it, but basically what it means is he's getting scared of the ball, and he can't sort of overcome that fear because it's a subconscious reaction rather than a conscious one.
Yeah,
it's very common. Cricket ball is very hard, and if it comes at you very quickly, it can hurt you. So it's a very common reaction to sort of flinch or withdraw or back away. The trick really is to build a technique that's so good that you can trust it. And the way to do that is to go back to basics, go right back to the beginning, get yourself somebody who can throw you some tennis balls and get it so you're playing all the front foot drives. And while you're there, you might as well do the back foot drives as well and defensive shots with absolutely dead on technique. Start with a tennis ball and just gradually build it up faster and faster with the tennis ball. And you can even get someone hitting a tennis ball with a tennis racket at you to get the pace up. And then when you're feeling like you can do it with a tennis ball, which you know isn't going to hurt you, so you sort of take out that subconscious fear of being hit, because if you get hit with a tennis ball, it's not going to hurt you very much. And then get throwdowns with a cricket ball and start slowly, just gentle throwdowns with a cricket ball, and gradually build it up over time. If you've got access to a bowling machine, even better, because you can just gradually increase the speed over time. When you feel like you've mastered the ball at a certain speed, you can just up a couple miles an hour and do it again and again and again. And then until you get up to a point where the ball is being bowled or thrown at the pace that previously you were scared of, but now you're not afraid of it anymore. The other thing, of course, is to make sure that you trust your equipment. So make sure your equipment is up to date and well looked after. You don't need the most expensive pads and the most expensive helmet and the most expensive gloves and a chest guard and an arm guard, but you do need enough that when you've got the equipment on, you know it's not going to hurt you when it hits you on the equipment, and you feel confident when you're learning those shots. And get out there and practice as much as you can. You can't do it in the net. You can't get out of it in the nets by just facing lots of fast bowling. You have to strip it right back, get back to basics, iron out the technical flaw, and then gradually build the speed back up again.
David, third question is from Man, and he says, I have a little problem when I crouch down as a keeper. Why do my legs start hurting? The pain gets into my gastrocnemius area, mm-hmm. between the leg. So can you tell me what can I do to get rid of that pain? David, I'm not really a keeper, but could this be because maybe it's an injury, or do all keepers go through that kind of pain?
Gastrocnemius is in the calf muscle, or one of the calf muscles. So if it's pain, pain is a message to stop doing whatever it is you're doing and get it sorted out. So see a physio or see the doctor. That would be my first piece of advice, because you don't want to mess around with pain, because you can only make things worse if you try and play through the pain, especially if it's recurring. So don't mess around. Get to a physiotherapist and get that sorted. There are things you can try yourself, but obviously these things are very general, and what you don't want to do is be making it worse. You can try foam rolling, which I've talked about before. You see those rolls of foam, which you can roll out, see if that makes any difference, and plenty of stretching. Pressing a tennis ball in, which is another way of foam rolling, or a hockey ball, is another way of sort of releasing the fascia, which can, if it's tightened up, it can cause problems. But normally it feels tight rather than pain. If it's pain, chances are something's actually gone wrong, rather than it's just a bit awkward. So see a physio with that one, I think. Yeah, don't mess around, especially with leg muscles, because you need your legs.
Yes. Well, you can get more tips and tricks on our website at www.pitchfishing.com. The site is updated daily and includes forums to chat with other cricketers around the world. You can also subscribe to the My Cricket Coach Show for free on iTunes, or you can click the link on the show's page that will take you directly to iTunes to subscribe. Stay tuned for our next show on the 12th of February. So if you have any questions or you want to get in touch, please email us at mycricketcoach@pitchfishing.com. Thank you for listening, and we hope to see you next time. So this is Kevin Sampath from Sydney, Australia, signing off.
And this is David Hinchliffe in the UK.